Thank you, Jonga Kandemiri. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Tuesday, August 9th, 2016. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gande.
And I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye.
Here are our top stories this evening.
President Robert Mugabe praises the Zimbabwe National Army for carrying out demining activities in the country.
Some Zimbabweans have dismissed as misleading. Some of them are abusing social media.
It's unfortunate that we do have a regime that is panicking to such levels whereby we are sort of seeing some statements which we do believe are a bit unconstitutional.
Some suspected ZANU-PF members have invaded a farm belonging to war veteran Victor Matemadanda.
And Zimbabwean rower Michina Thornycroft qualifies for the semi-finals in the women's event in the Olympic Games.
These stories and much more coming up. Stay tuned.
President Robert Mugabe praises the Zimbabwe National Army for defending the country against enemies of the state. Addressing thousands of people who attended the Defense Forces Day commemorations at the National Sports Stadium in Harare today, Mr. Mugabe said he is proud of the army, which has demonstrated the highest levels of discipline even in international missions. The president said the Zimbabwe National Army is helping in demining areas with undetonated bombs planted by the Rhodesian Security Forces during the War of Liberation.
ZDF engineer corps of the mining, the miners carry out this demining exercise in Sango border area while the Halo Trust the mine in Mukumbura, and the Norwegian People's Aid focus on Forbes border area.
That was President Robert Mugabe speaking today. And speaking to journalists yesterday, the commander of the Zimbabwe Defense Forces, General Constantine Chiwenga, said they are ready to defend the country's constitution and the nation against all enemies.
That the thinking in some quarters that the ZDF should be confined to barracks and expected to only emerge when they are physical threats to the country's territorial integrity is not only uninformed, but is also not in sync with the letter and spirit of the supreme law of the land. The protection of territorial integrity is just a portion of the ZDF mandate. The protection of a people cannot therefore be merely restricted to physical entities such as territory, borders, mortal human beings, or its airspace. Instead, such protection extends to abstract issues, which include values, practices, culture, traditions, and ideas of the people, in addition to their national interests, which may be economic, political, cultural, as well as social.
That was Zimbabwe Defense Forces Commander General Constantine Chiwenga speaking with journalists in Harare.
Some Zimbabweans have dismissed as misleading claims by the government and Defense Forces Chief General Constantine Chiwenga that local people are abusing social media. Several state officials have been of late attacking Zimbabweans protesting against current social and economic problems, saying they are using social media to allegedly cause chaos in the country. President Robert Mugabe, like some of the senior government officials and General Chiwenga, claim that Pastor Ivan Mawarire of hashtag This Flag, Tajamuka Sesijikile campaign, and other entities fighting for wide-ranging reforms want to bring a regime change through social media. They have cited some cases of cyberbullying, insults targeted at the president and his government, recent public protests and videos of some people with weapons of war threatening to overrun Zimbabwe as examples of social media abuse. Their concern is that Zimbabweans are trying to replicate the Arab Spring, which led to serious political conflicts in the Middle East. ZANU-PF lawmaker Joseph Chuma tells Studio 7's Gibbs Dube that social media is being used by some Zimbabweans to abuse the sitting president, state officials, and some innocent Zimbabweans.
It's very unfortunate that some of our people have taken to be very uncultural, and they have actually become criminals of the cyberspace. People are abusing the media left, right, center, not even only for the politics of the day. You find that you always read in the media that so-and-so has died, so-and-so has had an accident, and especially the famous people are the targets of such hoaxes. And yet, the truth of the matter is that nothing of that will have happened. I wonder where actually gotten to. It's so amazing. And now you find people are now using the same tricks again to demonize the country, to cause some sort of unrest in the country. And you ask yourself, to whose benefit? Right, let's suppose what they want happens and there is a mayhem and then blood is spilled. Who is going to be the beneficiary of that? We don't want people that abuse the social media. Otherwise, the social media can be a very good tool for communication, for learning, for a lot of other good things.
We know that Zimbabwe's constitution actually gives people that kind of freedom of expression and freedom of the media. So if ever, the government is actually attacking them for using social media, is the government not actually violating the constitution in any way?
No, I don't think so at all. When you say the constitution gives you freedom, yes, it gives you freedom, but it doesn't give you freedom to do detrimental things. When you say you are free, it does not mean that you are then free to come up and probably get me or punch me with a fist or even shoot me and say I'm free to do whatever I want. Freedom must be understood from its very sane and correct sense. Not this thing that we are seeing as of late, where people are inciting violence, where people are inciting the overthrowing of a constitutionally elected government. So
that was ZANU-PF lawmaker Joseph Chuma. Gibbs Dube also reached Dr. Alex Magaisa, a law lecturer and political commentator based in the United Kingdom, for his take on claims that some Zimbabweans are abusing social media.
What's happening is that Zimbabweans have found space on social media in order to articulate their views, because previously they had been restricted to traditional media, which is quite restricted. And as you know, radio is controlled by ZANU-PF. So people have not been able to express themselves in the ways that they have wanted over the years. And suddenly social media has become an important platform for expressing those views. And the government is not used to this, and that's why they are panicking.
So at the end of the day, there are some people who actually claim that at times people are abused on the social media sphere. Don't you think so?
Well, you know what? In any country, on any platform, there are people who abuse the privilege that they have of using media space. They are criminals. And of course, those issues need to be dealt with. For example, when people post images of children, when people, use that is uncouth and that is defamatory, all those things are issues that need to be dealt with. However, beyond that, you realize that the motive of regulating social media is more of a political nature. You can see that the government has begun to raise the issue of social media now that people have begun to express themselves and take activism to social platforms. The issues of abuse have been there for a long time, but the government has not acted. And that's why a lot of people are expressing concern that the motive for this is not necessarily to protect people, but more to protect ZANU-PF and to protect politicians.
There are some videos that are circulating on social media, showing some people with the weapons and, insulting the president and all those kind of, issues. So, but at the end of the day, can we say that is really abuse?
No, you know what? What we must understand is that as I say, there are people who will do criminal things, whether on social media or outside. The message that Zimbabweans have been preaching over the months is about peace and nonviolence. What you will find, these things used to happen during Gukurahundi as well, where the state itself can actually plant agents who masquerade as Democrats or masquerade as people who are perpetuating these offenses in order to create justification for these rules. So we don't know who these people are. Obviously, that is wrong. Zimbabwe does not need to go to a war.
That was Dr. Alex Magaisa, a lecturer and political commentator, speaking with Studio 7's Gibbs Dube. Kumbirai Mafunda, chairman of the Zimbabwe chapter of the Media Institute of Southern Africa, concurs, adding that there are laws that can be used in Zimbabwe for redress if anyone feels abused in the social media sphere.
It's just unfortunate that we do have a regime that is panicking to such levels, whereby we are sort of seeing some statements which we do believe are a bit unconstitutional. It's unfortunate that the people like Mr. Chiwenga is actually taking the activities by Zimbabweans to such a level. We are seeing an unprecedented engagement by the uniformed forces in civilian issues.
So when we look at the issue of abuse of social media, is there any specific law in Zimbabwe that actually talks about, you know, or actually focuses on this kind of issue?
I think there are several safeguards that are available in Zimbabwe. If we look at our constitution in Zimbabwe, it provides for freedom of expression. If you look at Section 61, Section 62, access to information, it provides for freedom of expression and access to information. All those things, there are also provisions within those provisions of the Constitution which give limitations to how one can exercise or enjoy his freedom of expression and freedom of and the right to access to information. So I think there already exist safeguards to curtail all the worries that the Zimbabwean government administration appears to have pertaining to freedom of expression. There are safeguards that are there. There are several laws that are already there in Zimbabwe which we have seen being abused. We look at the insult laws, the Section 33 of the Criminal Law Codification Reform Act, which pertains to punishing citizens for free expression. So I think there are several safeguards to help contain the worries that anyone can have in Zimbabwe already.
But what happens if somebody is actually abused in the social media sphere? Is there any kind of law that can actually protect that kind of a person?
I think we've seen Zimbabweans, those who feel to have been harmed, resorting to the use of criminal defamation laws in the country, which continue to be used as much as at MISA. We don't encourage the issue, those issues, but I think there are civil remedies that are available for people to resort to.
That was Kumbirai Mafunda, chairman of the Zimbabwe chapter of the Media Institute of Southern Africa, speaking with Studio 7 from Perth, Australia.
Information Communication Technology Minister Supamandi Wanzira tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that commerce, not cyber terrorism, necessitated the crafting of the Computer Crime and Cyber Crime Bill.
This is a process that has been underway for the last 4 years. I was appointed minister in 2014 in December. And obviously, this process had already started. The necessitation is really the massive use of the internet in Zimbabwe, the growth in e-commerce, the growth in digital payments, the growth in the use of plastic money, and therefore it is very important to protect Zimbabweans who are using the internet for various activities.
But some critics are saying the timing is suspicious, and some are even calling it the Mawarire Bill. Is it connected to the recent activities where citizens have been protesting against the government?
Well, first of all, it's being said by people who have not actually read the bill. It has nothing to do with social media. It has everything to do with protecting the integrity of cyber activity, the transactions that take place on the internet. It has nothing to do with social media or Mawarire. So those who are saying so are actually unread. We encourage them to read the bill and understand what it is about.
But what are the major aims? What do you aim to achieve with such a bill?
There is no country which has massive use of the internet in the world that has no cyber security and cyber crime bills or laws. We have to take Zimbabwe to the level where the rest of the world is in terms of internet and governance of that particular service. The reality of the matter is that we want to encourage investment into this country, and therefore those that want to invest in this country must be assured that transactions that they do online are secure, that there are laws that protect them against the stealing of technology, against cyber crimes or various cyber crimes. And therefore, if we want to attract that kind of investment, we have to make sure that we have those laws in place. And that is what government is simply doing at this stage.
But you are saying it does not relate to social media. Honorable Manduwanzira, the Sunday Mail said, and I quote, "Those abusing the social media to instigate violence, banditry, sabotage and general instability in Zimbabwe will soon be jailed in terms of new regulations being crafted by the government." Was this a wrong interpretation?
I don't want to comment on a Sunday Mail interpretation, which is based on their own view of things. I'd rather comment on your own view of things because you are Voice of America.
That was Information Communication Technology Minister Super Manduwanzira speaking there with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu.
You're listening to Studio 7 live from the Voice of America in Washington.
We are broadcasting on 909 medium wave and on the 4930-5940 and 15455 shortwave frequencies.
Coming up,
a closer look at the impact of shutting down borders in neighboring nations by Zimbabweans protesting against the importation of basic commodities.
And we'll give you an update on the ongoing Olympic Games in Rio, Brazil.
But first, we take a look at regional and international news.
Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump lashed out today at his critics within the party, even as another survey showed that the advantage growing for his opponent, Democratic Hillary Clinton. Trump's attack came as Maine Republican Senator Susan Collins, two former chiefs of the country's Environmental Protection Agency, and 50 former national security and foreign policy officials who served under previous Republican administrations, said they cannot support Trump.
And day four of the Olympic Games in Rio features popular sports like gymnastics, swimming and others will feature medal rounds, and high-profile U.S. swimmers Michael Phelps and Katie Ledecky are set to compete. Phelps, who won a gold medal for his part in the men's 4x100-meter freestyle relay, looks to take home another gold in the 200-meter butterfly. The Beitbridge border post remained a ghost of itself today on the second day of a protest against an import ban on some goods, with shops and other businesses closing down on either side of the border post. South African police again today dispersed protesters who had gathered on the Musina border post to put pressure on Zimbabwean authorities to reverse the ban. The protesters said they will continue calling for a boycott of commercial activities at the country's borders until the authorities back down. One of the organizers of the protest, Dennis Juru of the International Cross Borders Association, told Studio 7 that haulage truck drivers are pleading with them to lift the blockade so that they resume work.
Today there was no trucks, entering into the border. And we went to the border protesting. We had a short protest before we were disrupted by the police. And we had some members of Tajamuka who were also part of the demonstrations wearing Tajamuka t-shirts. And people were chanting that Tajamuka is not doing enough. We want more action and we are ready to join you, Tajamuka. We want more action, on the ground, more than addressing people. And the presence of police and army was very, very high.
So in terms of revenue, do you think that the government, since it's cash-strapped, is it going to be impacted?
Yes, I think so, because they know if they can't, they can't respond to us, they will lose a lot of revenue. With the way we have protested and with the way people have heeded our call to stay away from the borders, I think the government will respond and they will make sure that they resolve this as soon as possible.
Can you give us a sense of what's happening right now with the border? We understand that there were no buses and very few trucks.
At the moment, it's quiet. The border is quiet. Normally, there are queues from the border going up to the weighbridge. And inside the border, I'm from the border right now, there was no buses. I don't know whether they are still coming, but at the moment, there are no buses. Normally, buses start arriving at around 4 o'clock. The Blawayo route buses start arriving at around 3-4 o'clock, but at the moment, there's no buses at the border. So we are still waiting to see whether buses are coming or not.
That was Dennis Juru, the president of the International Cross Borders Association, speaking to Studio 7 on the line from South Africa. Meanwhile, analysts say the protest at the border post will have a negative impact on the government's attempt to get revenue at a time it is struggling to pay civil servants. As a result of company closures and the lack of investor confidence in Zimbabwe, the government is heavily relying on revenue generated from its borders, especially Bait Bridge, one of the busiest border crossings in the sub-region. For perspective, we reached economic commentator Masimba Kuchera, who says that civil servant salaries will be heavily impacted by inactivity at the border.
Look, I think the impact is huge to a struggling economy like the Zimbabwean economy, considering that especially the Bait Bridge border post between Zimbabwe and South Africa is a gateway for not only the Zimbabweans and South Africans, but also the Zambians and Malawians who want to cross the border to go to South Africa and vice versa. So there's a lot of goods that move between a lot of other countries using that border post, and the failure of those goods to move on time or to move at all will have serious ripple effects on the economy, not only of Zimbabwe, but even of other countries.
We know that the government has been struggling to pay civil servants. Is this protest at the borders not going to impact on that?
Well, it's going to have a massive impact. Look, the impact may not be seen immediately because the revenue collection probably is still in the month. But we know that in the last few months, Zimra has been failing to meet its target because of various other reasons, companies not paying and so on and so forth. And these protests will also exacerbate the situation, because what they will simply do is that they'll add on to them. They'll pile on the problem by little revenue coming into the fiscals from no economic activity. If this economy is to the extent that it requires all economic activities that it can afford, and if those economic activities that happen at the border, like vehicle clearance and other clearances that bring in revenue, take place, if they don't take place, then the country is in serious trouble. Remember, they have even invested in cameras for that border post, so that they trap revenue from source. And they wouldn't be making that investment if it was not a goose that lays the golden egg.
That was Masimba Kuchera, an economic commentator. He spoke to Studio 7 on the line from Harare.
And in sports news, we take a look at what is going on at the Rio 2016 Olympics in Brazil, where Zimbabwe's head of delegation at the Rio 26 Olympic Games, Titus Zomuya, says morale is very high following the qualification of Zimbabwe's rower Meshine Thornycroft for the semifinals of the women's single sculls in rowing, with the finals set for Saturday. At the same time, the mighty Warriors, who fell to Germany 6-1, then Canada 3-1, are set to play Australia in a must win match today. Jomuya tells us more on what is going on in Brazil.
The situation so far is very encouraging. Today we have got quite a number of events that are on. We do have the Mighty Warriors playing their last preliminary game against Australia in Salvador. And depending on the outcome of that game, it will then see us either coming to Rio for the next round, or should we lose that game, then see what we can do after that. We also had streaming that was on, and we also had a question, and also a drawing, where in drawing our rower disqualified for this final. I'm still to get an update of what happened in the streaming. Streaming was on a few minutes ago, and our guys are there. And once they've got the information, we'll give you the update. We also have athletics who will soon be coming, and we already have Tendunya Ora in camp now. She flew in last night, and the whole team is quite excited now that we now have one marathon runner and two sprinters that are already in camp. The rest are also from the marathon athletics training camp anytime now. In terms of injuries, I'm happy to say we do not have any injuries to talk about as of now, and we are quite happy with what's happening.
When we look at the rowing, we saw today's Zimbabwe's Michienne Thornycroft qualifying for the semi-finals. What was the mood like seeing a Zimbabwean going through?
It was very electrifying. The minister was also present for the rowing event where Michienne Thornycroft did qualify for the semi-finals, and we are quite happy about that performance. She came second in that event, and the time was equally very good. I must say everyone in the camp was very excited about that development, and we are very happy that she has even motivated the whole team to do better and continue to lift high the Zim flag.
We also saw there was disappointment when Kirsty Coventry failed to make it in the 100-meter backstroke, and there has been a question that is age catching up with her, what's going on in Brazil?
I must say, much as Kirsty couldn't make it for the final, but her performance was remarkable. She's somebody who has been there before, and she gave all her best in that particular event. And that's not her best event. Her best event is the one that's coming very soon, the 200-meter backstroke, where we are very confident that she will indeed continue to fly the flag high in that particular event. Yes, some people might say it was disappointing, but I must say it's not a disappointing performance at all. It's a very encouraging performance, given the fact that that's not her best event, and the best event is still to come. And we are hoping for the best from that particular event.
That was Team Zimbabwe head of delegation Titus Jomuya at the Rio Olympics in Brazil. We also reached VOA's Alvaro Aldrade for an update on what is going on at the 2016 Olympic Games.
I just spoke 5 minutes ago with the Rio 2016 Communication Director Mario Andrade about the decision of the justice, of the Brazilian justice yesterday, then avoid some demonstration inside the venues, but the Rio committee has went now to the justice to try to defend its position, because it's completely against the official decision, because the Olympic letter doesn't allow the demonstration inside the venues. Mr. Andrada told me the venues are the sport theater, the sport arena, not the political demonstration, is what happened now in Brazil.
Which country is leading the medal table?
Inside the venues, inside the stadium, the United States still in the first place with the medals. The United States still in the first place with 19 medals, 5 in gold. And China has 13 medals in the second place with 5 in gold. And Australia with 8 medals. 4 in gold.
That was VOA's Alvaro Aldrade speaking with Studio 7 from Brazil.
Stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. today, when host of The Connection, Tunga Milinkomo, and Tatenda Gumbo will be talking with listeners about the alleged abuse of social media in Zimbabwe. And a quick recap of today's top stories.
President Robert Mugabe praises the Zimbabwe National Army for carrying out demining activities in the country.
Some Zimbabweans have dismissed as misleading. Some of them are abusing social media. That's it from Chris Gande.
And I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye, wishing you a pleasant evening and a very good night.